3 Nephi chapter 28. In the beginning of this chapter, nine disciples request and are given the promise to come unto the Lord directly at the age of 72. And there they will find rest. And that's the important word there, that of what we receive when we go unto the Lord. Because even in being a disciple of the Lord and having seen him and had all these great things done, nonetheless, that does not mean that they're in heaven yet, and they do pass through this life, and it requires some enduring. They do feel the misery of the devil. The devil was still on the earth, and they do go through times of having the Spirit of the Lord withdrawn from him and filling the misery of the devil. That's what they're here for, to understand clearly this misery, and that's what they will receive throughout their lives, as you and I will, until till the end of our lives. Then it says that three are afraid to ask the Lord what they want. And we have to say, why? What were they afraid of? Well, what they wanted is they wanted to continue in life. And the reason they were afraid is it sounded like as if they loved this world or they loved their life more than living with their living with Christ. That did not, in appearances, that did not seem correct. But the Christ, therefore, discerns their heart, and he knows their heart's not there. They desire to continue to do the same as do Christ's work and to show love for their fellow man, and they are therefore willing to endure the sorrow of the world, just the sorrow of the sins of the world, and which they would have to see, and they'd have to be amongst, and not having the clear support of the other spirits in heaven. They are willing to therefore endure that for all time in order to stay here and help the to do the Lord's work and to bring souls unto the Lord, and therefore they are blessed, meaning that they are progress. This work they will do will result in their progression, and then in verse 10 it says what their reward, meaning that their reward is joy, meaning the important thing is that they will have joy with the Lord, they will have happiness, but their reward is not. For doing this, their reward is not that they will obtain eternal life, meaning that their work amongst them does not change their overcome any of their sins or wash away any of their filth. They must repent and get rid of that in their lives, and we must understand these different aspects of what's going on. Doing the work of the Lord progresses us, and that's our blessing. And our reward for doing work and seeing others is the same feeling that they have, that the Lord has, that we feel the joy and happiness of others. But there, just because someone changes, that does not lift us up, and it does not cleanse any of our sins. So then in the verses 11 through 15, they are caught up and ministered to from heaven. And what they are, how they are ministered, and what they are told is not given to us. And then after that, they do go out and minister to the people, but they cannot tell them either. But they can tell them of the experience that they have been ministered to by from heaven, just as we are told here. And why are we told here? To know that these are the kind of things that we, if we are a Zion people, if we are doing the work of the Lord, that this is what we will expect among us, meaning if we are the Lord's people, these are the kind of experiences that will occur to some among us. Well, then they go out and they preach to people, it says in verse 18, and that they preach to them and they baptize, and they teach them repentance and they baptize them. Now, the important thing here is that these high men, they didn't just preach to the higher level, we would call them the higher levels of the church. They didn't exactly have levels in the church of that day. But in contrast to how we believe today, they were out there, the ones out there being the missionaries, see? The highest ones in their church were out being the missionaries. It's not that the highest just direct and send the young out to be the missionaries. Why, that is the great work. The great work is teaching people repentance and baptizing them unto the Lord and unto repentance. This is the important work of the highest level of the church. We've seen over and over again the highest men. I don't like using exactly the word highest, but to relate to men, I will say that. At the highest levels, that is the work they're engaged in, not in puffing themselves up, but being the great administrators of that. Also note that there was still work to be done. Not everyone had saw Christ when he came, and it would only been the more righteous part of those that still even remained that got to saw Christ. And so there was still those to give affliction to some, meaning affliction and persecution to help them endure. And not only that, there was the people who had saw Christ. They still had to grow. They still had to have their character developed. They were still in this life. And just because they saw the Savior, and just because the Savior had been there, don't think that's what changed these people. They still had to live their lives and overcome their character weaknesses. No character weaknesses was changed or strengthened from seeing the Lord. All that was strengthened was their resolve or their motivation to change their character. Well, it then says that the 12 go out and they convert everyone. Everyone in the land is converted. Therefore, the words of Christ were fulfilled that everyone in that generation would be saved. And then it says in verses 24 through 30 that the three are yet doing the work of the Lord today, including, and that also implies that John the Beloved is also. And it says, great is the work that they are doing now. And do we see it? No, we wouldn't see it. What is the work they're doing now? Well, obviously they're administering to men, but they are also preparing the place of Zion for the gathering, meaning that as the Lord said, He will gather His people to a place He has prepared, and they are working to prepare that place. Then all of a sudden in verse 34, woe is given unto those who will not receive the word of Christ. And He says whether that's directly from Christ, from the Spirit, or from the men. And again, woe can be unto church leaders because they will not receive the Spirit and do what it tells them to do. And again, it makes it clear. Please understand that the Book of Mormon makes it clear that that men who deliver these words to you will say clearly they are receiving them from Christ. I testify to you as I am doing this commentary that I have been inspired by the Lord to spend my time to do this commentary. I am doing it by the Spirit. I am doing it according to the best of my human ability to represent exactly the Spirit that the Lord has delivered to me, and that He has clearly manifest to me the things to say during this commentary. In reference to verse 35, I want you to know that I know of God, and I do not want to be trampled under His feet, and I do not want to trample Him or His words under my feet. My desire is only to express the words of God. They are not to express my words. They are not to express my points. They are to do the best to reflect Him with the full knowledge of the fear that the condemnation of verse 35 will not come upon me. And how we trample His words under us is when we want to use our own words and would rather use our own precepts, and we want to organize things our own way. This is how we trample the Lord. We say that His words are not the things of value. His words are not the things that we want to say. What we want to say is our own words and make our own points. And indeed, I emphasize again that awful is the judgment that waits for the leaders of the church today, for their desires are not to repeat or not to seek out the words of the Lord and pass them on to you. Their desire is for you to hear their words and their precepts and puff themselves up in it. And I testify that the words of the Lord are available to them, that Ezra Taft Benson did desire to deliver the words of the Lord, and he was able to deliver many of the words of the Lord. The others do not care. They do not desire to have the words of the Lord. They want to have their own, and awful is what awaits them, the judgments of the Lord that await them. In this chapter, he finishes by saying that the state of the body of the three Nephites is an intermediate bodily state, but they don't have our body, but they don't have a fully perfected body either.